This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. I want to talk to you today, since we're in this month of February, and we started this series about my first love. Somebody say that with me. My first love. And that's really what God wants to be to us, is our number one. Look at somebody, say, God wants to be your number one. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It also said, no greater love is this, that someone would lay down their life, which is exactly what Jesus did. And love is actually mentioned over 750 times in the Bible. So it's one of the most important themes, if not the most important theme in the Bible. And so as we're in the month of February, where we like to talk about love and hypothesize about what love is, we're going to look at the Word of God and see what God says about love. Because John says that God actually is love. And so we know that love comes from God. And God never stops loving us, although sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes our love for God grows cold, and we have to get back to that place of our first love. The first week of the series, if you missed that, you can go back and listen to it. But we were talking about the church of Ephesus and how they were doing a lot of good things, and they were working hard, and they were enduring all types of hardship. And they even had great discernment to be able to see, this person's a real minister and this person's a fake person. But he said, I hold this one thing against you. You've lost your first love. You don't love me, and you don't love others the way that you first did. And so we looked at what that is. But I want to talk about my first love. What is it supposed to look like? And Jesus gives us this incredible command. And if you have your Bibles, you can go with me to Mark 12:30. Mark 12:30. And Jesus does this incredible thing, because the Pharisees come to him and they're testing him. How many know? Don't test Jesus, all right, because you're going to get embarrassed. So the Pharisees are always getting embarrassed because they're trying to test Jesus. And they ask Jesus this question. They say, what is the most important command? And they're trying to trap him, because there's actually over 500 commands in the Old Testament. So they say, which one is the most important? Because they're trying to say, well, you know, you said this one, you said the wrong answer, now you're wrong, you know. But Jesus is able to summarize, and he says, these two commandments, you can hang all the law and all the prophets. Not just the law, he one-upped them. They said, what is the greatest commandment? He said, I'll give you the commands and the prophets, you can hang it on these two commandments. And this is what he tells them. And it's really interesting. Before I read this, because you've probably already heard this somewhere, you saw it on a bumper sticker, at the very least. But Jesus actually digs back into the beginning of the Word of God to Deuteronomy, and he pulls out the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. And he says, the first commandment is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, you should love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. You know, I think this is where our society misses it. Because if we're really learning what love is, and this is the problem, you know. We have a generation, I want to know what love is. I want you to show. The problem is, we live in a society, right, that we're trying to define love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how do I even love my neighbor? We left off the first part. The first and the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart. And from out of that, you receive revelation about how to love your neighbor. You don't even know how to love your neighbor yet until you love the Lord. And so he says, so I want to stay right here, because if we get this foundation, we're going to really enjoy February much better. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. How much?
All.
I'm telling you, God is serious. And Jesus takes, he always one-ups it, you know? Like, you know, people are saying, oh, so what, how many times should I forgive somebody? Like once or twice? How about seven times? And Jesus says, seven times 70. He's always like one-upping. So Jesus is he's saying all. Give me all, not just a portion. Give me all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And so I want to really break this down a little bit. What does that mean? First, let's take a look at the heart. In the Greek, which is the language that Jesus was speaking when he gave this, is cardia, which means the center of your spiritual life, the vigor of your life. The heart in the Greek culture meant the center of all your desires, passions, appetites, affections. Can you imagine God is saying, love me like that? Love me with the center of your desires, passions, appetites, and affections. You know, when you actually are in love with somebody, this is automatic for those that have been in love, okay? And I'm sure there's some people, amen, February. This is automatic. You don't have to say, all right, now that you're in love, make sure that you put that person as the center of your passion and your desire and your affection. Actually, that's automatic when you're in love, when somebody has your heart. God says, love me with all your heart. Jesus wants to be number one, not just of your spiritual life. God wants to be number one of all of your life. All of your life. And so the heart in the Greek was the centermost part of a person or a thing. The middle, the inmost part, that's the kind of love that God desires from us. So you might be asking, are we talking like even emotions here? Yes, God wants us to love him even on an emotional level. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And so, you know, emotions are a tricky thing, but emotions are a gift from God. And they're meant to make life more beautiful and expressive. It's just a lot of times we can use them the wrong way. It's through emotions that we better experience art and music and milestones in life and even the simple things. Emotions add the value, the flavor to things. The key with emotion is they need to be wrapped around the right thing. You see, when you wrap emotions around the right relationship or the right expectations or the right principles, you get a good result. And you get a real good result when you wrap your emotions around God. But see, the problem is a lot of times in our lives, we've wrapped our emotions around a bad relationship or unrealistic expectations. And then we get a firestorm of things going on in our life. And then the emotions become toxic. But if we wrap our emotions around the right relationships, especially God, we're going to get good results. It's going to pull things that are very positive and godly into our lives. So make God the center of your emotions. That's what Jesus is saying to us. Emotions are a gift from God. How about we use emotions to love God? That's what Deuteronomy is telling us. That's what Jesus is telling us. And he tells us throughout the different gospels. And then he says, love the Lord with all your soul. What's a soul? Well, in this specific instance of the Greek word, it's the breath of life, the vital force that animates the body. In the Greek, psuche, the part that doesn't die with the body, the spirit man. So love the Lord with all your soul, with all your breath, your words. Love him with the eternal part of yourself. Okay, look at this progression. Love the Lord with all your heart. Love him on an emotional level. Love him with the eternal part. Love him with your spirit, man. Love him with your breath, with your very words, the things that's coming out of your mouth. Love him with that. And then he says, and love the Lord with all your mind. Now, here, this word means, in the Greek, the faculty of understanding, the center of all your thoughts, like all the ideas that you come up with, all the things that you're thinking about. God wants us to engage him, not just love him in ignorance. He wants you to seek him out with your mind. Love the Lord with all your mind. He doesn't just want you falling around like a lemming. He wants you actually to know his ways and understand his methods and the why behind a lot of the things that he's doing. The Greek word here is dianoia. It means deep thought, imagination, mental exercise. Love me, Jesus is saying, essentially, love me with your brain power. God wants to engage us on an intellectual level. Anybody, you had a relationship, whether it was a friend or more than a friend, and you were actually able to communicate. You were able to, you loved that person on an intellectual level. You had these great conversations. I know when I was right about to get married and right about to find Pastor Corinne, I said, and I want to be in a relationship with somebody that I can talk to. Like we're able to relate, somebody that engages me intellectually. God wants to engage you intellectually. He doesn't just want you to always be doing this in ignorance. Yeah, there's times that God says, you know, just move forward in obedience, even if you don't understand. Yeah, there's moments like that where he said to Abraham, he said, go to a place that I'll show you. I'm not showing you now, but just go, just start going. But there's a lot of times, though, that God wants to, like Moses. Moses said, show me your glory. I want to see, I want to know you, I want to understand who you actually are. He says, love the Lord with all your mind. And it made me think about the time when I first fell in love. It's like, and you can probably think about this, it's like the person was always on your mind. And it's like you were thinking about where you might go, you might take them on a date, or what type of flowers you might buy them, or what type of chocolates that you might get them, and all the specifics, and that person is running through your mind. You're loving that person essentially with your mind. And so God is saying, meditate on me. We understand in part while we're here on the earth, but God still wants to take us on a journey of the knowledge of who he is. Yes, of course, when we get to heaven, the Bible says we see through a glass darkly, but when we see him face to face, we'll know all the things that we need to know. But right now, God wants to take us on a journey. Love the Lord with all your mind. And then lastly, he says, love the Lord with all your strength. This word is defined as ability, force, might. How many would like to love the Lord forcefully? That's what Jesus is saying. Love me with force, with vigor. You know, anybody ever had something that you wanted really bad? I made the analogy in the first service of the person that joins multi-level marketing. These people, how many have ever had somebody in your life, a friend, that was in multi-level marketing? If you don't have your hand raised, you're probably the person. But when you are in multi-level marketing and you're doing it right, you call everybody. You do with all of your strength. You leverage all of your relationships, whether it's Cutco or Amway or Mary Kay or Tupperware or whatever. You know you've gotten the call. God is saying, essentially, love me like you are a multi-level marketer. Love me with all of your strength, all of your force, all of your capabilities. And this is where we get to really honor God with the things that we're capable of doing, our gifts, our abilities, our music, or our occupation, our families. We want to honor God with the way that other people perceive our testimony. Let it show our love for God. Jesus says, use all of your strength to love God. Let your love be seen in action. You know, I always have trouble believing somebody that they say something and then there's no action attached to it. I love how Jesus ended it with strength because, you know, there actually eventually has to be some action. If you say, I love you, you eventually have to put a ring on it. Amen? Or you have to... You have to do something. It requires some effort. Mark 12:30, he says, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. It's the first and the greatest commandment. My first love should always be Jesus. And listen, ladies, don't be offended. If you meet a guy and their first love is Jesus, you're doing good. Guys, if you meet a woman and her first love is Jesus, it's all right. It's going to be all right. Because actually, when your first love is Jesus, it causes you to be a better husband. When your first love is Jesus, it causes you to be a better wife. When your first love is Jesus, it causes you to be a better dad, a better mom, a better son, a better daughter. I'm better when I love him better. A lot of times I think when you're looking from the outside in, you can say, oh man, that person just, everything is Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, they just, you know, it's like they don't really have much space for anything else in their life. That's not really it. It's not that. It's actually, I want to do things through the lens of Jesus. Because when I do things through the lens of Jesus, I'm actually better for it. Because when I'm spending time in the presence of God, I'm a better husband. I'm nicer. And all the husbands said, amen. All the wives said, really, amen. When I spend time in the presence of God, I'm more understanding. I'm more forgiving. Because guess who created forgiveness? God. When we spend time with God, we're better when we love him better. And here's another thing that's interesting. We sang about this a little bit. God is a jealous God. And I don't know if anybody's ever been in a relationship with a friend and they were jealous, or a girlfriend that was jealous, or a boyfriend that was jealous. It's like they called you every 15 minutes to check up on you and see where you were and see what you were doing. And for all my old school people, they would blow up your pager. Remember those days? Blow that pager up. It says God calls himself a jealous God. He says, I'm going to check up on you. During the day, I'm going to see where you are. I'm going to see what you're up to. But it's not because he's judgmental. It's because he loves us so much. He wants all of our affection. And so this is what God describes himself as, jealous. But here's the other side. Has anybody ever had a jealous person fight for you? Let me tell you something. Nobody will fight like a jealous person. A jealous person will fight dirty. A jealous person will get creative to defend the person that they love. Can I tell you that Jesus fights for us that way? Can I tell you that God fights for you that way? He's a jealous God, and he will go to great lengths, lengths that you haven't even thought of before, to fight for you, to redeem you, to save you, to bail you out, because that's what type of God he is. Jesus is jealous. This is what God says about himself in Exodus 34:14. You must worship no other gods. How many know that gods aren't always today like a metal object that you're bowing down to? Gods can also be sports, or it can be a relationship that you put before God. Gods can be a lot of things. Some people, their god is money, or their god is their career. So he says, you must put no other gods before me. For the Lord, whose very name is jealous, is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. How about that? He says it two times. He says, my name is jealous, my very name, part of who I am. You know, when somebody, it's not part of what they do. It's like, that person can't help it. That's just who they are. God's saying, my very name is jealous, and I'm jealous about my relationship with you. I'm so happy that I serve a God that's not angry with me. I mean, yes, can God get angry? Yeah, God can get angry, but that's not who he is. He never said, my name is anger. He said, I'm love, and I'm jealous. That he said. I'm so glad that I serve a God that is jealous over me. He's not angry with me. He's not vindictive. He's a God that loves. Will you stand up on your feet with me today? Because I believe what God wants to do for us is to restore that first love. He wants to renew that first love. And sometimes we just kind of get away from it. We just drift away from that relationship that is the ideal thing. In the Garden of Eden, God had this relationship with Adam and Eve, and it was powerful. He talked to them face to face. If they had needs, boom, it was supplied. God wants that type of relationship, a relationship of love and communication. Would you bow your heads with me today? In a moment, I'm just going to open up the altar. And maybe you say, I just need some prayer today. Maybe it's something with your heart and you're saying, man, I need to know that type of love. Or maybe you're saying, man, my heart's gotten broken and I need Jesus to put this thing back together. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you're saying, I just need prayer. As we start to sing this song, I just want to open up the altars. If that's you, come down here. If it's not you, man, worship the Lord where you're at. But God wants to do something powerful in your life. There's something when we step forward and we say, God, I want more. I want that relationship. I want to have that love connection. I don't want my love to grow cold. I don't want my love to be cold anymore. I've been sitting it to the side and I didn't even realize that it's lukewarm. It's not what it needs to be. As heads are bowed, if that's you and you say, and I need prayer today, just come down. We want to pray with you. We want to send you away stronger than ever before because God has a blessing for all of his children and he wants to have that type of relationship with us. Yeah. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your strength, God. Lord, you have all the strength that we need today. When we think our strength is gone, God, your strength is enough, Lord. I thank you, God, for giving people strength today. God, strength for tomorrow. Lord, I thank you we could come, Father, into your presence and find exactly what we have need of, God. I thank you, Lord, that you fill every person up today, God, that needs a fresh touch from you, God, that you fill each and every person up, God, that they need a fresh touch, God, that they're on fire for you, that love is just warmed up, Father, in their life, God, because you're the one that shows us, you're the one that teaches us how to love, God. Thank you, God, for letting us feel your presence. God, your presence is life to us. Your presence is strength to us. So, God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for touching us. God, you didn't have to show up, God, but you do because you love us so much. So we thank you. Come on, let's give God the praise in this place.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.